بی تو ای صاحب زمان، بی قرارم هر زمان، بی تو ای صاحب زمان، بی قرارم هر زمان، از غم هجر تو من دل خسته، همچو مرغ بال و پر بشکسته. بی تو ای صاحب زمان، بی قرارم هر زمان، بی تو
ازور سیدی و مولای و معتمدی و رجائی ذخيرتي في دنياي وآخرتي، إصالة عن نفسي ونيابة عن والدي ووالد والدي وجميع المؤمنين.
اللهم صل على محمد.
Alhamdulillah has given us the tawfiq to be present here in the place of worship of one of our greatest female saints. Men who reached a very high stage of proximity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we revere them as signs of God because they were worshippers of God. We also do the same thing for women. For some women who reached such a high station that for us they're examples, and when we see their place of worship, it gives us inspiration, even if it's later, 1400 years later, of how we should be, how we can live, and how close a person who is non-ma'soon can get to Allah if they make effort. I thought that this would be the ideal place for us to reach two important conclusions. By the reference we have for this day, how our great scholars, so I feel that our other scholars, go to this day and they ask her to speak to Allah on her, on their behalf. Actually, one thing we should always keep in mind is that whenever you go for the Imam's Zahir, someone who is the descendant of the Imam, ask them to ask the Imam on their behalf. It's been told to us by spiritual teachers that one of the ways of us getting our hajat, our needs, is to do this. But there's two very important points that I think we're going to provide today. One of them is that as Muslims, we know that your gender does not have any role to play in how close you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very important book that was written by Nicholas Dawai Ahmad, one of our important scholars, Zan, that my name, Jalal al-Jamal, that woman, the mirror of the majesty and beauty, talking about the rights of women and answering a lot of questions and traditions that people have about women in Islam. What he explains is that actually your soul is neither male nor female. Your role in society is that of either a male or female. Your soul is not limited by your role in society or the duties that Islam has placed on you. In order to get close to Allah, you have to do those duties that Allah has placed on us. Now there's a very beautiful thing. In the Quran, if you look at Surah Al-Kareem, you see that when Allah wants to give an example for all of the believers, he mentions two women. He mentions the wife of Fir'aun, who was a woman who grew up on him, who was a wife in the most terrible circumstances. And you know that Fir'aun was calling himself the highest lord. He was somebody who was so terrible that him and his sister worshipped Allah, refused to go back. How she died was they say that she was nailed to the ground. And so the Al-Qaq was like somebody like that. But then a rock was put on top of her. And the verse that we have in Quran, which is asking about that same verse that we went in the verse in the Quran, so talking to yourself, where she's asking, oh Allah, give me a place with you in heaven, your place for me, and save me from her home. And his actions was done when she was in that situation. So somebody was in there. So for all of us, there's no way you can say there's no way for me to get close to Allah because we're not living with Fir'aun, not in those in his house, as his wife, with the idea that he nailed exact. So know how it is, and she at that stage was able to reach the height of spirituality, but she became an example for all men and all women. It's in the last of the Quran. Allah gives you an example for the believers, and then he says, and also marry as a man. So one point that we learn from this is that in spirituality, women can reach just as high a status, or even higher, become examples for all of us. And the teachers of our class say that actually, for women, they can move faster. Meaning that if a woman does decide to turn towards God, turn towards Allah, become a more spiritual person, the readiness that she has as a woman is sometimes faster than that of a man. It might be easier for her to get to Allah. But there's a flip side of this also. That is, it is also easy for women to lose the way. We have other ayahs in the same verse, the same surah, where Allah says that the example for those who disbelieve are the wives of two prophets, Nuh and Nuh. That they were so terrible. You read the books of these people, you don't see that much activity that they were doing. Meaning, like, the wife of Nuh, you know that she was good in the bad people, and that when the prophet had his guests, the teachers came to visit him, she lit a fire to let them know that we have guests, so the bad people will come. But you don't hear much of her story as to what actually she, or the wife of Noah, that when they were told to leave, she refused to leave, she looked back, and then she was destroyed. But their hearts were so dark and evil. They were so far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though they were wives of prophets, that they're an example for all those who disbelieve. So the spiritual potential of a woman is very great. It's easy for her to come towards Allah, but it's also that same potential can be used in the wrong way, and we have to be careful about that. So one essence is that we respect the Quran, and then also the other lesson that we want to get from this is that for us, we want to ask an important question. We by the question that sometimes gets asked about us as Muslims, and that is Islam oppressive to women? The image that others have of Islam is that Muslim women are kept back, they're held back, they're downtrodden. You have to save them, liberate them from these cruel, oppressive men. That's what the question is in Islam. We're here in Islam, in the Islamic Republic, all of our great scholars and ulama, they're so repressive. They're all going to one woman who's from the lineage of the Prophet of Allah to get intercession from her to reach higher spiritual stations. So from a spiritual point of view, then there is no limit on how high one can grow spiritually because of their gender. And actually, this is a direct answer to that challenge. Is Islam oppressive? We're saying that women can be examples for everybody. But this doesn't mean that we're apologetic either. Muslims, what we believe women should do or men should do is different from that of the West. But we don't apologize for that. We don't back down. We're not going to try and find a way of justifying what Islam says so they can accept it. No, this is right. Anybody who doesn't do this is wrong. We're not sorry for that. We don't apologize for that. So then we start to look to them and see what is it that Islam gave to them. The most important thing about creation is to get closer to Allah. That's what Allah created us for. To become his Khalifa in the earth. And that, Islam is saying that women can be examples for everyone. That's it. But what else did Islam do for women? Now this is a little bit tough. You mind if I say it? It's a scary ayah, but it's an ayah of Quran. Before I say the ayah of Quran, because I'm going to say the ayah of Quran, I'm going to say some of the laws of God, and then we'll see, okay, well, can we do what the ayah says? It's a little bit scary, but it's a verse of Quran. The verse of Quran says this. It says, no, Allah said, by your Lord, they do not believe until they set you, a prophet of Allah, up as a judge between them. And then whatever you've decided, they accept that and they don't find even any difficulty in their hearts about what you say. Because sometimes that as a Muslim, I accept that Allah said it, so I can't do anything for you. Okay, Allah, but in my heart, he says that if there's, talking about that same verse in the Quran, he said if there's anything in Islam that Allah has done or the Prophet has done
And in the bottom of your heart, one day you feel a little bit of resentment. He says that if that is the case, then to that tiny extent, however much resentment you have, you are Muslim.
Your body. Associated partners with Allah.
Who have you associated with Allah? Your own desire, right? Saying that my opinion is this. Allah, why did you do this? Even if it's in the bottom of your heart. You're going to have one? They didn't get to the part. Excuse me? Okay. Yes, the point was just that we have to accept Islam in its entirety. We have to submit to Islam. Right? And if we don't, then that's very dangerous. One time in story. We're in the time of the Prophet of Allah. This is, look at the book of Ayatollah Jafar Sultan with the message. The Muslims are coming back from the Battle of Hunayn. So they've conquered Mecca. Now we're in control. We're coming back from Hunayn, big victory. A lot of this is the most war fleet that have been gathered in this particular war. So after the war, the Muslims, a lot of stuff had been gathered with the enemies. The Muslims started insisting on the Prophet that we need to divide the war booty. We want to get our share. So the Prophet said, okay, and he started to divide the war booty. But as you know, in Islam, one-fifth of that belongs to you. Who? The Prophet. So now, the Prophet divided all of it equally, gave everybody their share, but one-fifth belonged to who? The Prophet of Allah. So the Prophet of Allah took that one-fifth, and he gave it to those new Muslims who were just coming to Islam. People who up until yesterday, let's say, up until a few days ago, had been enemies of Islam. People like Abu Sufyan, Amr ibn Amr, Muawiyah. These are people who hate Islam, have been working against Islam, and then now they're apparently Muslims, and now the Prophet of Allah says that it's wise for me to give them discounts. One of the Muslims who was in the amongst the people warriors was a man named Ibn Quraysa. Ibn Quraysa saw this, and he said that, I've been watching your actions carefully, and I've seen that you weren't acting with justice. A good being. He said, woe be on you. If I don't act with justice, then who will? And he made a prediction. He said, this man will leave Islam as a bow, as an arrow leaves the bow. And he later became one of the leaders of the Khawarij and fought a little bit. So he had that problem with some of the actions of Islam, not understand the depth behind it, what it is about it. He didn't understand it. He couldn't submit. Inside his heart, he had a small problem. So now, with that ayat, which was scary enough, you haven't accepted that lesson, you accept what God said from the bottom of your heart, and that story, now let me tell you a little bit about the Ahkam of Islam that we can see ourselves. Accept everything, or is it a little bit tough? Before I say this, there's one thing you should keep in mind, and that is that equity is not always equality. Equity is not all right. In Islam, you have some times where people aren't equal. Sometimes in Islam, according to Islamic law, people aren't equal. I'll give you an example. If you are born illegitimate, come into Islam, you are a great Muslim. It's not your fault. Your parents, your father, mother, they made the mistake. Now you come to Islam. Can you lead Salat? Is that equal? Is that fair? We'll get to fair question. But that's not fair yet. There are other states. It's not the same as the rules for that state. And many times in Islam, the rules for women are different than the rules of men. So keep that eye in mind. A man came to the imam, one of the good sheikhs, who was going to a lot of public work for Islam, came to the imam and he said that, oh imam, if God forbid, a man's finger cuts the finger of a woman, what is the punishment? The imam said that, yes, the big 10 count. He said, if it's two fingers, then If it's three fingers, what is the punishment of Islam? Of course, they didn't discuss this. What's the blood count? 30 count. He said, if it's four fingers, the Imam said it's 20 count. The man was so surprised. He said, I heard that in Iraq. I said, that's my job. His shaitan. Shaitan came up with this ruling. Who says it is not? How is that fair? Imam said, slow down. He said, it's not from the Prophet. The deal is equal to a man up until it gets to half. Once it becomes half, and once it gets over, let's say, like the one with the camel, up to the 40, up when it got to 40, up to 130, it becomes half. The Imam explains. And there's other times. For instance, if you look at the issue of inheritance, you have ayat al-Quran. Then dhakari, right? They say for the man is twice the reward of a woman. Before we go into the answers, because obviously there are answers to this, what should I as a Muslim, or especially as a Muslim sister, say when somebody asks me about Islam? Is Islam oppressive? No, Islam isn't oppressive to women. So, in your religion, according to your God, in your religion. What do you say about that? And as a Muslim, you have to know that we're not going to apologize if we're proud, we accept. Right? So now, for us, before we know what the answers are, because all these people can have a long discussion about what the answers are. Let's leave the answers aside. As a Muslim, one of the things, the first thing we say is that I believe in Allah. Allah knows better than I do. God doesn't make these rules because He benefits. He makes them because I benefit. I don't know what God knows. But I know, if I knew what God knew, I'd make the exact same decision. I don't know the answers are, but I trust God. I know. So before I go into the answers, so we start off with that as a premises. God's time, God's point. If I knew, but as a Muslim, because I have that personal relationship with God, without knowing what the answers are, I can relax and enjoy, and I say, look, God knows what He's doing. I don't apologize for that. I don't back down. No, this is my religion, and I'm happy about that. Now, our discussion today is not to go into all of those issues. Why is it these particular things? And for some of the issues, it's accepting what God says. Science, after many years, is sometimes able to come to solve the worldly reasons why God has said something. One simple example. You know in the Quran, what does Allah says? He says that Allah cast down mountains on the earth to keep the earth from shaking. So now, alhamdulillah, for 1400 years, science work discovered, they found out that yes, indeed, one of the roles of the mountains is that it keeps the earth from having earthquakes. So for me as a Muslim, for me as a big Muslim, I'll be like, oh yes, Islam is right, science is right. God said 1400 years ago, if only we knew what God said 1400 years ago, that would have been it. But not that, you know, Islam's not here. You don't need their comprehension. They understand what God said. But now, just a few points as to what Islam has done forward. You know that coming to the time of the Prophet, or under the worst possible conditions, people hated women so much that they shamed and would go and bury their daughters alive. The rights of women being trampled everywhere, the Prophet of Allah moved in the opposite direction. First of all, just look at the relationship of the Prophet of Allah. Well, just look at the issue of respect and the relationship of the Prophet of Allah to his own daughter. That when his daughter would come, not only the Prophet of Allah, but they said, Han Ilayha, that he would use this to just to welcome her. And it's a society that so the issue of respect, and then the hadith that we have about respecting women, or about respecting our mothers, for instance, we call it the hadith, and paradise is under the feet of our mothers, they say. So Islam, what Islam did for them. And the Prophet also showed that in his practical moves. I'll give you an example. During the lifetime of the Prophet Allah, a woman who was slave came to see the Prophet Allah, the Prophet seeing his companions to talk to. The girl walks up to the Prophet Allah, and then she starts to pull on the Prophet Allah's clothes. The Prophet of Allah is there with his friends. The Prophet of Allah is that if you were talking to him, he wouldn't ask you like this. The Prophet of Allah would turn and he would face you and talk. So the Prophet of Allah turned to face him and the woman didn't say anything. The Prophet went and sat down again and he's sitting down. He's comes on the top level, he sits down. What about somebody slave though? If women didn't have any respect, then what happened to slavery? Right? And Islam is completely different. She's a human being, she's a believer. So finally, this happened four times. Till finally, what the Prophet of Allah did was that maybe you want to give the brother to his salawat. That what the Prophet of Allah did was that he came and he turned to her. And then finally she said, she said, I was trying to tear a bit of your clothes off. The Prophet's clothes. From Baraka, I was in the same person. I don't want to get a bit of your clothes. From Baraka, from the person who came over. You see the respect that the Prophet of Allah had. We don't need the West to teach us how to respect women, or that we'll look for them and their understanding. And in fact, for us as Muslims, we want to be very careful about the values that we accept. He says that, I'm surprised that people who are very careful about what they eat, but they aren't careful about the food of their souls. You know, people eat even organic food, twice as expensive to buy something organic, but just because it's healthy. But what about the values that I get, my beliefs? Because when we grow up in a society which is not Islam, it is very easy for us to accept principles or ideas or beautiful words and take them as values, and then we say, come to Islam, and we're coming to Islam. Okay, Islam, where do you have this? You know, for us, it's always the opposite. You ever do anything good? First thing is, what does Allah say? Oh, they confirm this? Not opposite way. That we go into Islam demanding, Islam, you better say the same thing the West is saying. No. They use the same people that, you know, allow gay marriages. You know, women are used to sell the most benign, using the most base of human instincts to sell every product under the sun. You walk into a store, instead of spirit of the woman being important, her body, just how good she looks, basically a meat market, and only good as long as she looks good. One of the women who came into Islam said that one of the beautiful things I find about Islam is that Islam allows me to engage gracefully. I'm not as good as I look. I'm not as good as my face or my back or my body. I'm even me. They're human beings. Because of that, Islam does more than that. It places women on the front lines of Islam. As you know, for us, the hijab is the symbol of the resistance. If you ever look at, when they want to talk about Islam, one of the first things they'll do is show the hijab. And our sisters, not our brothers, they can, you know, maybe have a beard and, you know, a silver chain, a little gold for bar, but you don't know that they're Muslim. Right? But for our sisters, you know how difficult it is? Imagine, right? Imagine as a Muslim you had to wear an imam and a baba everywhere. Which always says, let's hijab! Imagine, as a man, you had to wear an imam and a baba everywhere. You have to go into the workplace for an interview and you're wearing an imam and a baba. That easy? See how much bravery it takes to wear the hijab? The flag of Islam? Everybody looking at me, I'm talking to Muslims too. Say, I go into the store, people are like talking to me in a fuck, not in England, but in America, where there's not as many people talking to me in a, does she speak English? Because, you know, foreigners. So it's a lot of bravery. So Islam not only puts them on the front lines of Islam to defend religion, explain religion, and giving them that opportunity to enter at other. So Islam has done that for us. Islam also, you know that women participated in, you know, for those of you who are from America, in America, all men, all white men couldn't vote in the beginning. That's our vote. So black people, three fifths of a man. So black people forget that. All white men could not vote in America. But if you look at Islam, you see that the three of me, probably, I was a member, there was a system. The political role of women in Islam has been there for me. It's not something new. All women are voting, no. That's what they're doing. They've discovered that, oh, alhamdulillah, God bless you, that you give them a role in Islam. When it comes to getting married, you don't marry women off, compel them to get married. If the girl's not, she doesn't, the marriage is invalid. Except that, you know, to let her sisters know, it's to their right. You have a choice. You stand up for yourself. It can't go. You don't have to marry them off. No, not in Islam. And then the, it's also about the right of the inheritance act that Islam does insist that, you know, that at least in the old days, you would inherit property from her father. It's all been carrying the woman so you could get her property. Her husband used to take take all of the property, or whenever. These are, of course, very few things. The most important thing is the spiritual that Allah has granted to us. And we as Muslims, as soldiers of the Islamic Middle East, aggressively not back down and recognize those most important things that Allah has given us. We hope, by the right of our Imam, the Imam of our time, who we are the soldiers for, and who we are prepared to arrive for. And as you get back to the stage where, according to our ulama, we have reached the end of the greater occultation, now we're reaching the beginning of the Zuhur of the Imam. According to Ayatollah Khatib Jazi, what he said was that, you know, you have the great Zuhur when the Imam returns, but you also have the Zuhur Sobra, the smaller appearance of the Imam. The grounds are being laid there. And now, according to our ulama, we are at the end of time. So again, nobody can say exactly when it's going to happen. But according to our scholars, they've given us that great news that we're coming very close to the end. However, that does mean the test will be greater for us. It becomes, there's more reward for us holding on and for resisting and standing going the other way. But we're coming towards that time. So we ask Allah, as we are soldiers of the Imam, as He's given, Allah's given us the tawfiq to come on this trip, be part of this, learning something about Islam that can set this in His way and makes it part or base it in the appearance of our Imam. We ask Allah, by the right of this great lady, whose place we are visiting, inshallah, we will visit her shrine. We ask her to intercede to Allah on our behalf, to ask her father, Imam Muslim Qasim, that God accept our Islam, that He accept our activities, and that when we return to our countries, we can keep this love of Islam, commitment to the path in our. Lastly, we pray that God protect all of the believers in these times, all of our Marathi, especially the leader. Salawat.
قصدت حرمك وأتيت إلى مشهد يا الله وفقنا لزيارة الحسين يا الله أسأل الله بالشأن الذي لك عنده وبالمحل الذي لك لديه